Well, good evening, Grace Fellowship Church. Let me say again how much I miss you, how much I miss singing with you and worshiping with you. I check the news every day to see if there's any clue when the social distancing is going to be over. And I think we are all there, aren't we? Ready to be back together again. We love each other. We do love each other, and COVID-19, the coronavirus, hasn't killed that at all. It's amazing the things that the coronavirus, COVID-19, has done. It's stopped nations and businesses in their tracks, but it's powerless against the kind of love that we have here at Grace Fellowship Church. COVID-19 is strong. Agape love is stronger. And that's the point of this evening's sermon. Love bears all things, trusts all things, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. And so when COVID-19 is just a speck in the rear view mirror, and our love for each other will still be there. Our love for each other will still be there. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, even more than that, when all the years of this earth are done, and when faith has given way to sight, and when faith is nothing but a mere memory, and all of our hopes are realized, well, love will still be there. We'll still be loving each other. And that's what we see, and that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 13. And so take your Bibles there at home and turn there to 1 Corinthians 13 and follow along as I read. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessing on the word preached. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, you are the one who taught us to love. You are the one who has put love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that you would open up your word to us. Holy Spirit, come and take your word and teach us. Enlighten our minds, enlighten our hearts, stir our wills so that we would be ready to do your word. Give us faith to believe it. Give us humility to humble ourselves before it, to examine ourselves, and to learn what you have to teach us. All that we would be more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray this in his name. Amen. Well, the greatest of these is love. Why is love better than faith, better than knowledge, tongues, and prophecy? Because love is the very heart of the Christian life. We know that we have passed from death to life if and because we love the brethren. Faith, hope, and love are all born into the Christian at the new birth and born into that new Christian's heart. But there's only one that lasts forever. Everything else, all the gifts, all the other Christian graces, like the scaffolding, are eventually taken down. And what is left is love. Love for God and love for each other. And so we are going to keep on loving each other through this whole ordeal. Love won't fail. Our love for each other here at Grace Fellowship Church will not fail because it's not in the nature of Christian love to fail. When we're born in this world of sin, we're born to die. We're born mortal. But when Christian love is born into a Christian's heart, that love is immortal. It cannot die. That's why I say it's not in the nature of Christian love to fail. And so a few points this evening. A few things I want to think about with you. I want to think with you for your encouragement, for your edification. And the first is just to answer a question. What kind of love am I talking about? What kind of love is this that doesn't fail? That doesn't fail. Paul uses a very particular word. He uses the word agape. This is agape love. And it wasn't the normal, typical, usual word for love in the Greek world. But Paul took it, even though it was unusual, and he took it and he filled it up with Christian meaning, with distinct meaning. And so what kind of love is agape love? Well, agape love is not the world's love. The world love comes from there being something in another person that I find lovely. The world's love comes from other people being lovely in some way. And so the world loves other people because in some way or in something about that person draws out their love. There's something lovable or desirable. Something that's in them that's good or pleasant to me. And so as long as they do something for me or have something for me, I love them. And that's what the world means when it says they've fallen out of love or the love died. And what they mean is you quit doing it for me, doing whatever that is that you were doing for me. You quit being lovable for me. I couldn't find any more reason in you for me to keep on loving you, so I quit. But that's not agape love. Agape love doesn't begin with something desirable or lovable in the other person. Agape love is grace. Agape love doesn't start in them with something about them. It's born in me. It's a gift from God to love as God loves. And he doesn't love us because he found something good or pleasant in us. He doesn't love us because there's something he gets from us. He loves us because of something in him, his own goodness, his own desire to bless us. The world's love is about what's in you. Agape love is about what's in me. It's about God's life, God's heart, God's grace living in me by the Holy Spirit. And so the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love. And that's why love can't fail. That's why this agape love cannot fail. That's why this love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and always perseveres and never fails. Because it's not about what's in other people. It's about who is in me. The life of God. The Spirit of God. In the soul of man. And so Grace Fellowship Church, that's why COVID-19 and everything that is going on is no match for this love that we have for each other. And so that's why when we do our Zoom meetings, and even though we've been apart for over a month, there's something in us that is still loving each other. We're glad to be there. We love these people. Because our love for each other doesn't depend on us being together or finding each other something wonderful. Because this, honestly, as soon as we get back together, we're going to remember all those things that annoy us, that bug us. And we're going to remember those other people's sins, other people's weaknesses. You're going to remember mine and I'll remember yours. But COVID-19 is no match for our love for each other because it's not about what's in me or what's in you. It's the life of God in us. It's the supernatural gift. That's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12 all the way through 14 are these gifts. And he's saying the greatest gift, the most useful, the most perfect, the most wonderful, the most excellent gift of all is this gift of love, this gift of the eternal loving God giving us that love in our hearts. He puts it into us. He writes it into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is part of the new covenant. He says, I will take my law and write it on their hearts so that they will do it. And what is the summary? What is the law? James says, the royal law found in Scripture is love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians, the whole law is summed up with love your neighbor as yourself. And so God has taken that law and He has put it into our hearts. He's engraved it. He's etched it. He's reshaped, remolded. He's put grooves into our hearts that we would love our brothers and our sisters. And so there is something going on more than our own efforts, more than ourselves. This isn't love that we are working up. This is the new covenant. This is the fulfillment of that new covenant, that blood-bought covenant. Jesus died in order to give us hearts that would love each other. And that's why love will never fail, because Jesus bought it on the cross. He won for us the Holy Spirit, who takes that law and puts it into our hearts so that we would do it. So COVID-19 is no match at all for agape love, because what's in us, what we experience, what we share, what is this most excellent way that we should try to grow in and pursue is nothing less than the love of God, than the love of Christ. And God's love is from everlasting to everlasting, and it bears up underneath everything. It bears everything. It waits long. It never runs out of patience. It never withers on the vine. Christ bears in love with us. Could we bear from one another what He daily bears from us? He perseveres with us. And so He's washing us. He's sanctifying us. And we're put into the bathtub of sanctification. But so much of the time, we're more like a cat getting a bath than a happy two-year-old getting a bath. We're dirty, and sometimes we hate the water. We hate the process. We're clawing and scratching to get out. But He bears with us. He bears with us in love. Love never fails. This agape love, this love of God that's in our hearts now, it never fails. Now, look at verses 7 and 8. Why doesn't love fail? Because it bears all things. It bears all things. On Easter Sunday morning, early in the morning, Cayman and I went on a walk in the Plymouth Park. And at one point in the trail, you can go underneath a bridge. And so the road, the highway there, the road goes over the Yellow River, and you can take the footpath underneath that bridge. Now, there is a sign on the bridge where the cars go. And it's a sign that says what the weight restrictions are for that bridge. So two-axle cars can weigh so much, three-axle trucks can weigh more. Now, because the bridge can carry only so much weight. It can only bear up under so much weight. Too much weight will buckle the bridge. Well, love doesn't have a sign like that on it. Love bears all things. Now, the NIV translates this always protects, and I'm not exactly sure why it translated it that way. I'm not sure their reasoning behind that. Most translations just simply translates it as it bears all things. That's the more natural, the more literal translation. And so why doesn't love fail? Because you can't annoy it out of existence. You can't run it out of patience. It will put up with anything and everything. The same word is used in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, just a few chapters before this. And Paul says, on the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. We put up with all of this grief and all of this opposition and all of and everything that's against us. We put up with it. We put up with the poverty of preaching the gospel without pay. We put up with anything rather than hindering the gospel of Christ. That's the same word. Love will put up with anything. And so think about that person in your life who, if there was a picture of the hardest person in my life to love, their picture would be there. Their name would be there. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a child. Or right now, maybe you're thinking of someone at church. And if you're honest, if you're being honest with yourself, you would say, they bother me. It's hard to love them. They annoy me. They can be insensitive. They rub me the wrong way. Their personality is like that fly in the middle of the night in your bedroom, and you can't catch it and you can't kill it, and it just buzzes around. Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe it is real sin. They've been a wrecking ball. They've hurt you. Well, what can carry that weight? What can bear that weight? What can handle that? Well, the world's love can't do that. Because the world's love is always looking at what can you do for me? But agape love is totally other focused. And so agape love can carry the weight. It puts up with everything. It carries all the weight of those personality differences and those opinion differences and those political differences. It puts up with sins. It puts up with their oddities, their quirks, their failings. Love can bear up. Now, emotionally, we sometimes don't feel like that. Emotionally, we feel like, I can't take it anymore. I can't love this person anymore. But that's why we need to have our feet planted in the gospel and on God Himself, because we can't measure our weight restrictions, our ability to bear, by our emotions. We have to measure our potential not by what we find in our own hearts and our emotions, but what we find in God, what's in Him. So why doesn't love fail? Because it can bear all things. Well, secondly, it doesn't fail because it doesn't give in to suspicion. It doesn't think the worst of people. It's not cynical about people. Love always believes. It trusts. Love doesn't make you gullible or simple. Paul prayed that the Philippian Christians' love might grow in knowledge and depth of insight. So love and wisdom are twin virtues. They go together. But love doesn't get overturned. The waves don't crash so much into to love's boat that it overturns it. It doesn't let all these waves of doubt and cynicism about people overturn it. So Paul's point here about where it says love always trusts is that love works hard to be generous toward people. It works hard to be generous toward people. Not a little bit. It trusts always all things and all these things. I know I've said this more than a few times. But in love, we need to be thinking the best of people. We need to do our best to think of how those people could be right. How can we take them? How can we understand them? What can we assume about them that would make them look good? Would put them in the best light? Again, love gives the benefit of the doubt. Paul in the book of Philippians again says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." That word gentleness means sweet reasonableness. It's this gracious attitude. You want to be convinced. You want them to be right. You want to think well of those people. Again, James, in chapter 3, he's talking about wisdom that comes from above. You know, there's wisdom that comes from below that looks at everyone and is cynical and doubtful and doesn't... It's always looking for something wrong in other people. But that's not the wisdom from above. That's the wisdom from below. Wisdom that is from above is again, it's considerate or reasonable. It's not jaded. Wisdom and love, they're both from God, and neither of them are jaded. They don't produce in us this harsh, cynical, acidic way of looking at people, where you're always eating away at their story, at their person, looking to poke holes in them. One person wrote, "Paul simply wants to say that love holds us back from always assuming the worst about someone, or always jumping to the premature conclusion that they are in error or they're motivated by selfish concerns." Now, at some point, we do come to certain conclusions. But you want to be reluctant to come to those conclusions. Love doesn't pretend to be a heart reader, a mind reader. But if it does, it assumes the best. It assumes the best. You see why, again, love doesn't fail, because in the rub, in the back and forth of life, people are going to smack us. We're going to smack into each other. There's going to be things that set off alarm bells. There's going to be things that we see that we could construe and interpret in certain ways, and we can easily start to think the worst of our brothers and sisters. We can all do that. And so suspicion threatens to destroy love. But that's where love says, slow down. Why not, instead of doubting them, how about you think better of them? That's what love does. Well, love doesn't fail because it always trusts and it hopes all things. It always trusts. Again, love doesn't write people off as lost causes. Love doesn't give up on people. And we've all been tempted, or we've all done this. But love does not relegate people to the trash can. It doesn't categorize people as hopeless. Love doesn't give up on people. Love hopes. Sincerely hopes and thinks, you know, maybe what they need is more time. Time is on their side. In time, they'll get there. And so love doesn't take quick, drastic, final action with people. We can do that too easily, where they don't change in our time frame. They don't change immediately. And so we get so fed up. And so we just write them off, and we take this drastic final action. We consign them. We relegate them to the trash can. But that's not love. That's not love. Love knows that sometimes people don't need a good talking to. They don't need convinced and changed right this minute. Sometimes all people need is time. So love says, slow down and hope. God's not done with me. He's not done with me. And he's not done with them. So hold on. They'll get there. Now, you know, as parents, if you're parents, we can push our children, and we want them to always be growing up, always maturing, and those things are good. And so we push them to read, or we push them to do math, or we push them to figure out to do their chores just the right way, to remember those, or to be responsible. And you know, sometimes they're not where we want them to be. And we've been working with them. And after a while, it's sort of like you come to a crossroads of, you can either just write them off and you can get all bitter against them and exasperate them because they've so exasperated you. Or instead, I think we need to take the path of love and say, you know, maybe just need to slow down. Just wait. They'll get there. They'll figure this out. God will help them. God will grow them. I can give them to God. I can pray for them. So just wait. Things will change for the better. And that's how love thinks about people. Not as finished products. Not as statues stuck in time. Finished for good or finished for bad. But love sees people as in process. God is good. God is faithful. And because God is good and faithful, and because God is strong, I can wait. I can wait and hope. I can keep praying. I can keep loving. I can keep doing them good. Now, isn't that how Jesus treats us? He knows we're not done. He knows we're still works in progress. But as much as we are looking forward to that day when we are perfected, I believe that the Lord Jesus is keeping His eye on that day. And He is loving us in hope. He doesn't write us off. He doesn't throw us away and say that they're never going to get it. No, He goes on loving because He knows that we are going to get there. He loves us in hope. In hope that one day we're going to be just like Him. We'll be just like Him with no spot or wrinkle, with all the wisdom and love and mercy and patience, and every grace will be perfected in us, and His bride will be as perfected in holiness as our Lord Jesus is. And that hope keeps His love burning bright. It's not perfect now. We're not perfect now. Our relationship isn't what it's going to be. And yet, He has the end in mind, and so He keeps on loving us. And that is the love that God has begun, that God has planted, that God has born and put into us. And so don't write off your brothers and sisters in the faith. Don't write off your brothers and sisters at Grace Fellowship Church. Don't wash your hands of them. That's not love. That's really self-love. That's hopelessness. It's unbelief. Instead, wait. Wait quietly for the Lord to work. Keep your eye fastened on the end. And so love doesn't fail because it's grounded in hope. It has this hopeful outlook. So finally, why doesn't love fail? Well, because it always perseveres. It bears all things. That means it will carry any weight. It will put up with anything. Perseverance means it will go as long as it takes. So, bearing is how much weight it will take, and perseverance is saying how long it will go. Love is the long sought after perpetual motion machine that just once it's started, it keeps going. It keeps going and going. Love never fails. It never runs out of energy. It's what the Energizer Bunny wishes it could be. It's the life of God in the soul of man. It's this light of God shining into your heart. And once it's begun, it just shines brighter and brighter. And so this love is the power of God filling a person. And He's eternal. So this love is eternal. And I can say, in all honesty, I see it in you. I see it especially in many of you who year after year of hard loving. Maybe it's that spouse. And you go on loving them year after year in a difficult, difficult situation. I see it in year after year caring for special needs children. Raising children is hard for everyone. But it is anguish and it is exhaustion for you. It's brutal hand-to-hand combat day after day for you. And for some of you, it's been 20 years and it's been 16 years and it's been 10 years and love hasn't failed. It's stumbled. It's grown tired. But love lives on. And you get up and you love again. And you wake up and you're driven by love. And you go to bed exhausted by love. And the love hasn't died. Just look at the perseverance of love. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian climbs that hill difficulty, but for some of you, you have climbed the Himalayan mountains of difficulty, and it just gone on and on. It's not one lap, it's been a marathon. A marathon with your children, a marathon with your spouse, a marathon with whoever that person is, those people are, a marathon with the wind against you, with the devil screeching and howling doubt and despair in your face, and there's been traps and there's been snares and you've been tired, but you're still running. And so do you see why Paul says tongues, prophecies, healing, all the gifts, what are they to love? Love never fails. It never completely buckles under the weight. It never gives up. It never comes up short. It never proves inadequate. That's some of the idea of love never fails. Is it never proves to be not enough. It never proves to be inadequate. Not enough for the task. It's always enough. So you remember that story of the Apostle John when he was an old man and his sermon, and he would preach the sermon, brothers, love one another. Brothers, love one another. Brothers, love one another. And so finally, why do you keep preaching, brothers, love one another? And his answer was, because it's enough. It's enough. It's enough for us right now. It's enough for Grace Fellowship Church. If Grace Fellowship Church loves each other the way 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, we can get a lot of things wrong, but the main thing will be right, and we will be fine. So brothers and sisters, what do we need to do in these present circumstances? In these present circumstances. Well, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. NIV, follow the way of love. It's pursue love. Pursue is this active word. It means chase love. Do what you can to get love, to exercise love, to live in love. Do everything in your power to love. It's the same sort of thing in Proverbs chapter 3 and 4 where it's saying get wisdom, whatever you can, get understanding. That's what this is saying. Pursue love. That's what we need to be doing right now. Jesus pursued love. He chased after it. He stayed on the path and he followed hard and he ran after it. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1, it marks this transition in the whole Gospel of John. It's this turning point. And it basically says, Jesus, he knew what was about to happen. And he knew that he was about to leave them. And it says, knowing all that, he showed them the full extent of his love. And what John is saying is, from here on to the very end of the gospel, this is Jesus showing his disciples how much he loves them. Everything that he does from that point on is supposed to be telling you this is how much Jesus loves his people. So there's the foot washing, the instruction. He prays for them. They go to Gethsemane. They go to Golgotha. And even the resurrection. All of that is Jesus pursuing love. His love for us never failed. Not in the upper room when Judas betrayed him. Not in the trial when Peter denied him. Not on the cross. Love kept him going. He pursued it. And his every heartbeat was, this is how I love them. They need to know how much I love them. They need to see my love. And so every beat of his beautiful heart was love. It was love for God, love for his Father, and love for us. That love carried him through Gethsemane to the trial, to the cross, to the depths, to the experience of being forsaken, feeling forsaken by God, drinking the cup of God's wrath. It kept him drinking that cup till the very end, into the grave, and then back. In love, he took back his life for us. In love, he rose from the dead for us. He loved us, and it never failed. And so let's love one another. He pursued love. Then let's pursue love with one another. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we do thank you for that love that pursued us, that didn't find anything good in us, but found us sinful, found your bride beside the road in love with other lovers, with a heart going astray, covered in sin, and not for the good that was in us, but for your own, in your own way, and for your own reasons, out of your own heart, you loved us and you did us good. Thank you for that love that doesn't give up on us, that continues in hope, that continues to pursue us, to put up with us, to love us. Thank you for that. And I pray that as we drink that love in, it would give us strength then to love one another. As we live in the light and the glory and the joy and the delight of your love, you would help us then to reflect that love to our brothers and sisters. This love that we've talked about is the most excellent gift. It is the most excellent way. Help us to live in it. Help Grace Fellowship Church to grow in love for one another as we grow in our hope and our faith and our love for you. We pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus, for your glory. Amen.